Some years ago, there was a singing group. I can't remember which one it was, but they had a song, "There's a Muddy Road Ahead, Detour." You remember that? Who sang that? "There's a Muddy Road Ahead, Detour." Well, in the purpose of God's plan for the ages, I'm here to say there's a muddy road ahead, detour. And I want to address this morning some of the road signs that we can look for as that comes about. And I would title our lesson, "The Beginning of Apostasy." Just for review, for some, what is apostasy? Well, apostasy is a desertion or standing away from religious or spiritual beliefs. Here in America, it is evidenced by church membership, for example. Back in the 1960s, approximately 65% of Americans were affiliated or attended some type of church. That in 2021 had gone down to 27%. And 9% of that is just in that year alone. It has since drifted even farther away. This decline is reflected, therefore, in my opinion, in our culture. The drastic increase in crime, the problems of broken homes, mental illness, unrest in general in the culture, political strife in our government, such things as transgender beings. Now we see in our advertisements and in our programs. This apostasy is one of the characteristics of the closing days of this age in which we find ourselves, the dispensation of truth. While it is futile and utterly, actually unscriptural to attempt to forecast the end of the times, the time of the end when Christ is coming, the second coming, the year of the Lord's return, or to introduce into the present time signs of the end, the fact remains that the world goes on around us. Nations are pursuing their policies. Changes in events plainly are apparent, different from what they once were, even here in America 35, 40 years ago. War, turmoil, crises are found around the globe. And those things spoken of in prophecy must at some time come to pass, if not shortly. And even though prophetic times are not now computable because the prophetic clock of the Old Testament, which we studied, the 70 weeks of Daniel, is stopped. When the nation of Israel was set aside, those 70 weeks of prophecy set by Daniel were set aside and are currently on hold at the 67th week. Yet, it is within this time that we live, this time when that prophetic clock is stopped, that can be seen and noted anything that makes the beginning of apostasy prevalent or useful in our thinking, especially apostasy which is antagonistic to the one body of Christ. Yet this apostasy signals that we are coming to the end of this dispensation, the end of this age, the coming of Christ in his second coming. And this apostasy will run on and develop into a continuation of the last weeks of that prophecy there in Daniel, and the starting again of the timetable and the clock that we have studied that was set aside when the nation of Israel rejected their Messiah and crucified him. Therefore, we can with confidence turn to the prison epistles and note anything that is said concerning apostasy and affairs that will be prevalent as this dispensation draws to a close. There are four or five, particularly in Scripture, that I want to consider. The first this morning would be there in the book of Ephesians. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Now, most of the book of Ephesians, the content is devoted to making known the basic truth of the new dispensation that was revealed to Paul, the one body of Christ. Nevertheless, it contains the beginning or the germ of apostasy with which this dispensation closes. Look there in chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. It reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So that spirit that was causing them to walk according to the world was definitely there in that period of time. The prince of the power of the air. It is a mighty foe. We face that still today in our culture. Paul makes further reference to it over in the sixth chapter. If you'll turn over to chapter 6, verse 12. This spiritual foe, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, we know there's wickedness in high places. It's found in governments around the world. It's found in those parts of our own culture that have a great deal of influence, like Hollywood, like Disneyland, so forth, principles and powers in high places. We read about it in chapter 4 of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Doctrine that's false. Doctrine of demons. We find it in Islam. We find it in Buddhism. We find it in Scientology. And the sad thing is, we find it in the gospel by those who have no earthly idea. I don't like to point out, but so many of the big churches in the pulpit, nothing comes out with regard to the body of Christ, that's for sure. And the gospel that does come out is watered down to where you cannot make sense of it. Contradictions that make no sense. And so what happens? It's false. It's not true. It's watered down. It makes no sense. And people drift away. That's why we've gone from partially for why we've gone from 65% of attendance in churches today to 27%. Do you know in Miami County there were 78 churches back in the 1960s? 78 in Miami County. I don't know what that is today. I didn't try to find out, but I know that it's much less, maybe only half as many. You see it all the time. In Peru, they tore down a church here recently. You see for sale signs on those that are closed their doors. This is apostasy in our culture. So we see evidence of this in Ephesians. We also find it in Philippians. Turn over to the book of Philippians. Ephesians reveals the spiritual foes that attack from without. These principalities and powers come at us from without. The principalities and rulers of darkness of this world. Philippians, on the other hand, draws attention to the evils within that help those or promote those that are without. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. That's the root of apostasy, putting oneself before their maker. We see it so much in everything that's done in our culture. Hedonism, pleasure or happiness, is the highest goal to a great extent at anyone else's expense. We see it, for example, in 63 million abortions. 63 million abortions in our country since Roe versus Wade. That is placing self above others. We see it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have as us for example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. There's not basically anything wrong with a lot of earthly things. I like to have a nice automobile. I know Mike and Max back there, they like the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when that sort of thing, pleasure, is put forefront of everything else that it becomes detrimental. And it begins to affect a whole culture and is a sign of apostasy going forward. We see this also in Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. These people that deceive are described here in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Pulpits teaching what they do not understand and cannot back up with Scripture. False teachers. Timothy speaks of it further over in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Abstain from the eating of meats. You see that today? You know what the spiritualists think? That eating of meats hinders you from becoming a medium, a foreseer of the future. These kind of things that creep in that hinder the whole culture and are a sign of apostasy or the drifting away. We see it in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 5. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is goodness, from which withdraw thyself. Supposing that gain is goodliness. I mean, we all have to make a living. That's understood. You know, the Apostle Paul was even a tent maker to support himself. But when that becomes the number one priority, then it affects this drifting away from Christian principles and becomes a sign of apostasy. We see it in verse 10 of that same chapter. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that gets in the way of our faith. Verse 17 of that chapter. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in a living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science and falsely so called. Here he is giving us some ideas of what's happening in apostasy. He does the same thing over in 2 Timothy. Here in 2 Timothy, we see those entangled in the affairs of this life, cowardice with regard to one's faith. And you know, I have a perfect example of that. And believe me, I'm not jumping on any particular party here. This apostasy is found in Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and everywhere else around the world. But here is a perfect example. Our President of the United States has done 100% reverse on his thinking with regard to abortions for political gain. Cowardice with regard to one's faith. Our President was a Catholic, and they taught abortion wrong, but he's changed his whole thinking with regard for political gain. And it's not because he's a Democrat. Don't get me into politics here. This is everywhere within the upper echelons of government around the world. Those who abandon sound words, denying the Lord, more profane and vain babbling. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of, from such turn away. Does that sound like anything you see today around the world and in the news? It's apostasy. It's a falling away from those principles that have been given to us by God through the scriptures. False doctrine, no meat, exercise, ungodly amounts of water drinking. All of this stuff is a lot of palaver. Verses 12 and verses 13. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All of these things are the beginning of apostasy. With these things in mind, what comes next? Well, I want to step outside the prison epistles to see what is revealed shortly after the closing of this dispensation and the ushering in of the millennium reign of Christ. These are things that occurs shortly after the close of the dispensation, but lead into the latter times, probably in week 68, 69, and 70 of Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9. First, let's see what Christ has to say with regard to this. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Deception. Look at beginning with verse 3. And he, Christ, of course, sat down, Jesus, he said, upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And Jesus answered it and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This is echoed also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, if you want to maybe read that on your own. False prophets with signs and wonders. No doubt, satanic, able to deceive even the very elect. Satan himself would be in this class as Antichrist there in the latter week of Daniel's prophecy, week 70. He goes on further. The beginnings of sorrow are apostasy. Verses 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. We see those things more and more today, more to do with national and terrestrial things he's speaking about here. But then he says, shall come the end. Verses 9, then shall they deliver up you up to be afflicted. He's speaking, of course, about the nation itself, the remnant of Israel at that time. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax old. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Here, this is more intimately related, of course, to his people, the nation, the remnant that will still be there at the time, at the end. Most of these things, of course, that have also been prophesied in the Old Testament. The closing years of the Daniel prophecy is found there beginning in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whatso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to their clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Speaking again there of what is going to be occurring there in the last week of Daniel, where the abomination is set up in the temple. Idolatrous, this image will be in nature. It will be filthy in subject at the pinnacle of the temple where Satan tempted Christ. It is the last straw before desolation. Fortunately, it's dated for us. It's mid-week in that last 70 weeks of Daniel. And then Christ speaks further of the great tribulation, beginning there in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth into the west, so shall also the shining of the Son of Man be. For so whosoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles to gather together. That second coming of Christ, you're not going to miss it. it will be so fantastic, if you will, that it will put Antichrist down, no question, when Christ comes. Don't be deceived otherwise. And of course, he this time stands alone in its trouble and its sorrow, unknown to man before, never to be known again. And so the link between this chapter, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelations chapter 13, and Daniel chapter 12, then, is unbreakable. And I would suggest you read those for yourself all together. Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelations 13, and Daniel 12 is unbreakable apart. And then we find the coming of the Son of Man, beginning with verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and there shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another, the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I propose that we are beginning to see this forthcoming starting again of the clock in the 67th, at the 68th week of Daniel's prophecy. No man knows when it is. I don't know if it's a year or 50 years. All I know is when you look at the apostasy that's going throughout the world, we're closer than we were yesterday and closer than we have ever been in history. Following these verses that we just read are parables with regard to the end, but this all is the beginning of apostasy in this dispensation in which we live. Be on the watch. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're thankful that you are mindful of us. Grateful that you have given us a record whereby we can spot and know and understand your purpose of the ages, where we can see and understand those things connected with apostasy. We're thankful for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the love that you've given to us for salvation through him. I pray for each one here that each one here may grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And again, that we may all be rooted and grounded in your love in our daily lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.